This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
News story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, let's get into a little basketball here outside of the Nuggets for a moment. We can take a break from that. You guys have been following along with the Jimmy Butler thing, right? I mean, Jimmy Butler coming out saying, hey, if I was playing, Boston would be at home. New York damn sure would be at home. Josh Hart, question mark? Come on, man. Well, we know Butler had the MCL injury. And that side, that put him out, obviously, for the playoffs. But he came off and said that. Well, Pat Riley didn't like that. Pat Riley fired back and basically said, hey, if you're not on the court playing against Boston, you should keep your mouth shut. I don't like the whole, if I were out there, we'd be winning. I mean, we're all thinking it. A lot of people think those kind of things. I don't know just how good Miami would do, but Miami Heat president Pat Riley said on Monday, it was his end of season news conference, he was asked about it specifically. And he said, for him to say that, I thought, is that Jimmy trolling or is that Jimmy serious? If you're not on the court playing against Boston or on the court playing against the New York Knicks, you should keep your mouth shut and your criticism of those teams. Hard to disagree with Pat Riley there. I don't love the whole coming out saying that. Now, Butler is a confusing guy, though. He does a lot of interesting things. Is he really being that serious, or is he just throwing shade to throw shade? I don't know. This is an interesting conversation, and we'll fade down here, Michael. Aaron Hernandez's fiance, Shayana Jenkins, very frustrated and sad and upset about the cruel jokes, as she put them, from Tom Brady's Netflix roast. Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one. Aaron Hernandez, I mean, he was a murderer, and then obviously we know what happened in prison, and it's a bad story. It's a really bad one, but according to People.com, Shayana Jenkins, a fiance of late NFL player Aaron Hernandez, was not amused by the jokes about Hernandez made during Netflix's live special, The Greatest Roast of All Time. They have she has an 11-year-old daughter. Obviously, this daughter, Aaron Hernandez, was her father. She told TMZ, Jenkins said this, that she was disappointed by the jokes and said, I'm trying to raise my children. It's sad. I'm trying to raise my children in such a cruel world, Jenkins told TMZ after the roast. Oh, it's a tough one. Like, he's a murderer. He killed himself in prison. It was, like I said before, this was just a nasty, nasty thing. Here's the way I look at it. I watched the roast, most of it anyway. And I guess when it comes to comedy and stuff and whether I was listening to Tanner and Brian debate this on Good Morning NoCo, and I kind of liked how Brian put it. If I have to think for a second, is this wrong to say this? Then that's probably where I would go. But I'm not a comedian. I'm hilarious, obviously. But that's not my world. Their world is too. I mean, they were Twitter before Twitter existed. Angel's back in, by the way. Angel, good to see you, my friend.
Hello.
Don't worry, there's plenty of crying still to come.
Oh, you didn't get all out?
Yeah, I didn't get it. Not even close. But the Jenkins thing. I was off the air. I was telling you some of these jokes that were coming out about Aaron Hernandez, and I mean these were rough, dude. I guess the way I come out of it is like there were honestly I thought funnier things said outside of the Hernandez stuff. So can you be a comedian without? Now Tanner's whole take this morning was he's a murderer. Why are we worried about offending his memory? That's not what we're worried about. We're worried about the people that he left behind. You know, that's the problem when you comedians, it's no holds barred. I'm not a cancel culture guy. If I don't like something, I'm not going to make a stink about it. I'll talk about it on this format, but I don't think people should, you know, again, within reason. But if I'm just not a fan of it, I will turn it off. Like my wife wouldn't have enjoyed this. Yeah, you know, it was a lot. It's pretty raunchy. She's not really a roast fan. So I told her, I was like, yeah, there were some funny parts, but I'm probably not going to suggest that you go back and watch it. Especially the Hernandez thing. You know, I think there is something to it. You know, an 11-year-old daughter is going to hear about this. She's going to hear about the jokes. And should his memory be respected? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the family that he left behind, especially the kids. So I guess, Angel, that's kind of where I look at it. And go, would I do that in a public forum? Have I snickered at jokes that are probably terrible? Yeah. Did I snicker at a couple of those? I kind of just went, ooh. You know when you do that? You're entertained by it, but you're also like, I don't. You felt like a kid suddenly watching a rated R movie? You're like, I don't know if I should be laughing at this. So I do believe comedy should be this no holds barred kind of thing. And, you know, like I'm a big fan of South Park. They make fun of things that I value. They make fun of certain religions. They've made fun of my religion. But I'm not one of the guys that's like, wait a minute, now you cross the line. No, it should be. If I'm not a fan of that episode and it's just too much, I tune away. I'm not going to go pick it and, you know, come up with write a blog and say, oh, these guys are awful. You know, I'm not going to do that. Comedy should be free like that. Again, within reason, I think. But in this case, it's not like you were going to stop those kind of jokes. This is a roast about a Patriots player, and the legend of the Patriots does involve that side, that nasty story, that side of it. Aaron Hernandez is a part of Patriots history.
Yeah, and it's probably the darkest part of the Patriots dynasty.
Yeah,
probably a part that a lot of people just don't want to refer back to. And yeah, you know, humor is an art, comedy is an art, and art is subjective. So some people are going to find it funny. Some people are going to say, I get it, but it's kind of uncomfortable or, okay, why would you even joke about that? And so, yeah, and I can understand, you know, the empathy towards the family that's left and the, you know, 11-year-old daughter who maybe doesn't know the full story. And having it explained to you in jokes could be very, you know, could be honestly traumatizing.
Sure, it could. It could ruin her life.
Sure, to have an idea of who your dad was at home. I don't know what he was like at home, but yeah, that's tough news to try to get. And, you know, kids are mean. You know, elementary going into middle school age, kids are going to be mean about it.
That's coming up to her.
They're already all on social media at 5 years old, so that's tough.
Yeah. So, I guess this is a way I saw a lot of people going at her for complaining about it, and I'm definitely, like, not with that. You know, there were some comments going at her like, well, if she thinks the roast was bad, wait till she finds out what her dad did. You don't think she knows? You don't think she's living through that every single day, knowing that is a stain on her life now? I mean, awful. It's not just the death of a parent, which by itself is terrible, but it's the fact that he was a murderer. He killed Odin Lloyd, and then he was in prison and then ultimately killed himself. It's awful. So I darn sure don't fault her for being upset and voicing her opinions. But again, I have to stand by it. Like the comedic side, it's no holds barred. And my only control I have in that is to tune away, because I hated during COVID when comedians were getting shut down left and right, man. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like that. You know, I remember the sitcom, and again, I'm not comparing the stories, but Married with Children. I've brought this up before. Married with Children, Al Bundy. And there was a group of moms that got together to protest the show, saying this is garbage, it shouldn't be on TV. And I remember the writers and the producers of that show, were, it was like a documentary, and they said, you know, here's how you solve it. You get up, you grab your remote, and you change the channel. And I do believe that. I think we all have to take in things, and if you can't handle certain things, like if violent video games do something to you, if horror movies do something to you, then stay away from it. If comedy like this is just uncomfortable, then stay away from it. It's not for everybody. I'm not personally that kind of guy. Like that, those roasts are to dig in on the most personal part of you and just turn the knife over and over and over again. And the thing of it was the Aaron Hernandez thing was like not really a personal attack on Brady or Belichick or anybody. It was just kind of brought up. So I didn't like it. But I'm not going to sit here and say they shouldn't be able to. There are certain things you can't joke about.
Yeah, and it's comedians take things from current events in society and turn them into jokes or turn them into humor, because for some, humor can be a form of escapism or suppressing traumatic things. So, yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. It's like, yeah, okay, they're jokes, all in good fun, I guess. But those jokes are about somebody that has a family who can't defend himself.
And that's the thing you're thinking about. Like, it's about the family. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm not like, oh, yeah, he's a murderer. So what's the problem? You can make fun of that guy until you're blue in the face. Yeah, but he does have a family. You know, and OJ, name all the OJ jokes, man. But until recently, he was alive through all of that. His kids still had their dad. Yeah, maybe they didn't get along, but they still had their dad.
And he was able to go on social media and poke fun or counter joke at some of those things.
Yeah. So
is that in good taste or not? It's up to you.
It's up to you. Again, it was a funny roast. Honestly, I think they're making a lot about it, though. Like, it's still everywhere. It was okay. I mean, it was good for what a roast is supposed to be. But it's you know, the older I get, I guess, it's just, man, let's take the most personal things to your divorce, your kids, you being a dad, a murderer that was on your team that committed suicide. Let's go in on all that. Like, making fun of the crypto thing was funny. There was a joke about The Rock, mm-hmm. about
him and Kevin Hart.
That was hilarious. There's a lot of jokes that are still raunchy that don't necessarily hit home with truth.
Well, it's an interesting picture when it's, okay, we're going to make a Hernandez joke, but hey, don't joke about Robert Kraft and getting massages. That's untouchable stuff.
Well, not for
Which
Robert
was
Kraft.
That part of the script or not? I don't know.
Yeah, that to me is the stuff that you can, like that, the Sean Watson stuff, like, yeah, that's Robert Kraft, that's easier to do. As far as untouchable.
Is it low-hanging fruit in a comedian's mind?
Yeah, probably.
It's like, oh, everyone's going to make a divorce joke. Everyone's going to make some kind of deflated football joke. I'm going to go this route.
But everybody did make an Aaron Hernandez joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it was there for everybody. I thought Julian Edelman's joke about Belichick, the only job he could get is with a high school team, like that was good. They don't always have to be like these really, really bad things. But again, I don't want to ever be that guy that says that offended me, so let's cancel it. Hey, that kind of bugged me. I'm just not going to watch it. And it didn't to the point. I'm not connected with anybody on that side. So I continued to watch, and every Aaron Hernandez joke to hit, I was just like, ooh. You know, I didn't laugh. The Rock joke, laughed out loud. A couple of the deflate things, hilarious. The Kardashian thing, and again, that was about a dad, but he's alive. It's different. about
Kanye.
Kanye.
Or Yee, whatever he is now.
Being, you know, Tom Brady said, I felt really bad that she had to be here tonight because I know that the kids would have to be home with her dad. Listen, that's tough for the family too, but in fairness, like Kanye and Kim Kardashian, they are all about the limelight.
Yes.
So their kids are going to have to deal with that. This woman here, I don't think she's tried anything other than just doing interviews about her husband. I don't think she's trying to get famous. I don't believe. Maybe I'm wrong, but it doesn't seem like it. So there it is. To catch you up, Angel, sad days, epic defense. Jamal Murray, I have some serious concerns about him and honestly the future. And we said this yesterday. I said, hey, if they lose this game, the series is probably over. How do we feel?
It does feel like it's over. It is sports, and anything can happen, I guess. This group has, you know, people want to bring up, oh, they went 3-1, came back from 3-1 twice. And I'm like, yeah, that was in the bubble. It's different. That was a different type of basketball at that point. And they had a bad game similar to that against Utah in that first round, game 3, I believe.
I think, and game 7 was their lowest scoring. I don't remember what the score was, but they didn't score 80 in that game.
Yeah.
So, it's amazing what one win could do. You win Friday, you got to win Friday.
No.
Because you know what history will tell you if you don't. So, you win Friday, and suddenly it's like, it's 2-1, and you proved you could do it. You could even the series now. So, it is not over. It just depends, though. And this is, I know this sounds like a cop-out, and it sounds cliche or whatever, but which Nuggets team are you getting? Are you getting the one that we saw a month ago? Or are you getting the one that we've seen in the playoffs so far? The one that was a champion last year, that team. Because if you get that team, I'll take the Nuggets game 3. I'll take them right now. But if we see, honestly, game 1 Nuggets against the T-Wolves, they weren't that bad. That's not a true Nuggets game. I still haven't seen one. But game 1 wasn't that bad. Game 2 is the one we're freaking out about because Minnesota might have solved something. How do you counter that aggressive defense? That was some of the best defense I've ever seen in my life, Angel.
Yeah, continuing the trend from game 1 where they pick up the defense early and they use their length to get into passing lanes and, you know, keep them almost away from the basket. I was saying last night watching it, like, why aren't they attacking the basket? It's like we're afraid to go to the rim and try to, you know, do something.
Yeah, but also then they would do the opposite. A guy would get a rebound and be surrounded by 3 players, and they just keep going up. It's like, dude, just do the quick math. There's 3 guys on you right now. Somebody's around you. You have a dribble left. Bounce it off of his foot if you have to. Clear it. Joker did that a few times. Christian Brown did that. Aaron Gordon did that. And so I agree with you, though. There were plenty of times where they just didn't go. Michael Porter Jr., off the dribble, can get there. You just wonder if mentally he's like, man, if I do this too many times, I'm not going to be able to shoot the basketball.
Sure.
Which I get.
For a guy like him, you want to see the ball go through the net, and you have a higher percentage of doing that if you're shooting a jump shot. I don't know if it's a mental thing where it's, oh, I'm going to drive to the paint, but, oh, there's Karl Anthony Towns, there's Naz Reid, there's Rudy Gobert, and they're ready to block a shot. And you have to figure out a different way to try to attack them. You have to find, I think the word floating around with this team right now is intensity or physicality. It was there for about 10 minutes of this first quarter. And then something just switched and you stopped being able to get physical. Maybe it was the frustration with the foul calls or the non-calls, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But the tension started building towards the end of that first quarter, and it was, okay, these guys are obviously frustrated.
I talked about this earlier in the first hour, Angel. Michael Malone, I mean, sometimes you got to pick your spots when you're going to go defend your team. I didn't necessarily like the timing of that. We had a texter bring it up, too. I didn't like the timing of that because it almost did clear the way for the rest of the team to complain the rest of the night.
Yeah, a lot of times you'll see in games where the players are the ones that start that off first, where they're getting upset with the refs and trying to have conversations. And then when things still aren't going their way later on in the game, that's when you see the coach step in. We've seen Malone do that before. But like you said, was it too early? Was it the pressure of we can't have another slow start? The refs aren't really, from what we can tell, aren't calling this game fair. Jokic is getting hacked to pieces out there. Murray's getting double teamed, like one of the hardest double teams I've ever seen. You know, we're getting to the rim, there's no calls. We're, you know, taking charges or offensive fouls, and there's no call. And I'm trying to remember exactly what that sequence was with when we had Malone come out there.
It was Towns. It should have been a charge. Towns just bulldozed Murray. And I think right before that, wasn't that the KCP nut shot there or whatever? Yeah.
I was wondering what happened to him.
Yeah, it looked like it was. Malone was frustrated then, and then he got really frustrated after Jamal took the charge. And I just, and again, the refs weren't perfect, but I can't go there. I just, the doubling on Jamal Murray was just, was the kind of defense you want to write a book about. I mean, it was good.
Oh my gosh, Jamal's getting double teamed for 10 minutes. I'm just going to stand here and see if he can pass me the ball. We'll help him.
And he's got to get rid of it. That sticky ball thing, though. And this is what I'm saying, like with point guards, you have to know, you have to feel that double coming. They started guarding him at the half court line.
At the logo.
Yeah, and then he gets across, and here comes another guy. Jamal's got to know, or somebody has to pop up, both sides. Jamal's got to know, though, I'm getting ready to get doubled. I got to get rid of this thing. And then, I mean, where's Malone on the timeouts with that? Like, yeah, hey, I mean, here's what needs to happen when Jamal gets trapped up here, or when Jamal gets trapped on the free throw line, because it's all congested right there. What are we doing?
Yeah, you guys aren't moving around enough. The ball's not, you know, you want to break up a defense. It's with ball movement. Obviously, you have to execute those clean passes, but you have to move the ball around because the defense, they're just standing there.
Yeah. A lot of things wrong with that game, Angel. I mean, my favorite part of the night for the Nuggets was KCP stopping the 2-on-1. That's it. That was my shining moment for the Nuggets last night. Okay, coming up at the bottom of the hour, Kyle Fredrickson is going to join us. We're going to talk some Avs, Stars action tonight. Game one, desperately need a dub from this Colorado Avalanche team. How do they match up? Kyle's going to break into that with us in just a moment. Let's take a quick break first. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
32 minutes after the hour. We got to be brief here, Angel, because we don't want to keep the man waiting. Kyle Fredrickson from the Gazette. Going to join us in just a minute. We'll break down game one and round two, get his thoughts on matchup concerns, and also big news for Nathan MacKinnon as well. So this is it's exciting. He was listed as officially Hart finalist, so exciting for MacKinnon. I think he's going to have, well, he should. Just conventional wisdom will tell you he's going to have a monster series against Dallas. Coming up next, we'll talk to Kyle Fredrickson. 32 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. In need of some positive vibes, in need of the Avs to just make it all go away. Kyle Fredrickson joining us, Colorado Avalanche beat writer for the Denver Gazette. Kyle, before we kind of get into the game, it's kind of what we expected anyway, but we see Nathan MacKinnon officially listed as a finalist for the Hart Award. So that's the Hart Trophy, excuse me, but that is so obviously well-deserving. Is he going to win it?
I think that the odds are certainly in his favor at this point.
just for listeners' info, like this is a Pro Hockey Writers Association vote that took place a couple weeks ago. So this has already been tallied, nothing to do with how MacKinnon finishes out the season. But yeah, I think based on what we've seen from the Vegas odds, the way that MacKinnon just has been playing in general throughout the regular season, no one's been more consistent than this guy. So yeah, if you're looking for a silver lining in the Caro sports world after that Nuggets loss, that would certainly be it. Cause you know, come June when it gets announced, I really do think it's going to be MacKinnon's name, as they say.
What is it going to take for Nathan MacKinnon to become, you know, straight up the GOAT of the Avs? Because we know how many great players they have. When you win multiple cups, you're typically going to have several great players on that Mount Rushmore, whatever. But in your mind, what is it going to take? What amount, Hart Memorial trophies or another Stanley Cup? In your mind, what would it take for him to be the GOAT of the Colorado Avalanche?
Yeah, I think the MVP and being a multi-time Cup winner puts him in that conversation. You know, that's like Forsberg, Sakic territory. And what's most remarkable about Nate, and I don't think it gets enough credit, is just this guy's doing it in year 11, or year 12. I don't know what year it is, but to be playing your very best hockey that you've ever played that deep into your career, it speaks volumes about just the type of player that he is, the mentality that he has this late in his career. And we've seen it from the other greats, right? Like Crosby, Ovechkin, very productive players, into their 30s. So, we got to remember, this is just kind of that second decade for Nate wrapping up. What is he going to be like in 2-3 years down the road? Can he continue to get better? When we talk about his legacy, I think that's going to be a big part of it.
Well, and just so many things, so many items to decorate, especially this year, but overall his career too. I mean, the one that just is amazing is the fact that he had points in 35 straight home games from October to late March. I mean, that right there is just phenomenal.
Yeah, and that's what sets him apart. You can dissect some other numbers. He didn't finish the year with the Art Ross with the scoring title, Kucherov. He had more points than MacKinnon. But yeah, it's the consistency. I think it was something like 85% of MacKinnon's games played this year, he had at least 1 point. I think he had something crazy like 44 multi-point games this season. So yeah, I don't know how you define your MVP. Everyone probably has their own standards. But I would say that MacKinnon also passes the eye test, right? Like no one plays with as much aggression and force and high end skill as this guy. Like Kucherov and McDavid, they're gonna make wow plays with their skill, but they don't play as mean as MacKinnon does. And I think when you talk about what an MVP brings and what makes him different, and in the eyes of a lot of voters, he also hasn't won the award before. He's going up against two players who already have. So maybe there's a little bit of fatigue there that's gonna help MacKinnon. But by no means should that discredit, his ability to win it, because I do think that he's deserving this year.
Yeah, no doubt. And he's as far as the excitement factor and entertainment factor, he's just so much fun to watch and has been for such a long time now. Kyle, what's it going to take for this team to get past this tough one coming up against Dallas starting game one tonight? First question, let's go to the goalie side of things. That was a roller coaster with Georgie for a moment. Game one was terrifying, and then suddenly it clicked, and he saved a lot of games. He stopped a lot of goals. What is his situation right now?
Yeah, I'm real curious to see what version of Georgiev that we get, because I think the one knock on this guy is that his highs are very high, but his lows are very low. And it seems like he's a little bit streaky at times, but the way that he was able to just come back in that Winnipeg series after such a terrible game one speaks volumes about the kind of guy he is. Now, looking ahead, I'm real interested to see just what is the score after the first period? Like, what is Georgiev's body language like? Because, this is another crowd and another team that if they kind of start piling things on, it kind of got away from Georgiev, and not just kind of in game one against Winnipeg, it really did. And it sunk their chances when really the Avs were playing well enough to win. So I would say, Georgiev just has to be solid. I don't think he has to steal any games in this series. Because when the Avs are playing their brand of hockey and they're scoring 5 goals a game, like they did against an elite goaltender in Connor Hellebuck, it doesn't really matter how well Georgiev plays to a point, you know, because they can mask some of that. So, you know, Jake Oettinger has been great for the Stars. I would say on an equal par with Hellebuck in terms of the respect that he gets across the league. So we'll see what happens. Like I mentioned, a fast start would really do a lot to improve their chances.
Yeah, it was interesting that you mentioned Oettinger, too. I remember back in December, they went through a weird stretch, the Stars did, and they were giving up a lot of goals, but he recovered pretty, you know, shortly after fans freaked out, he was perfect again. I mean, he was back to his old form. So I guess that was the only interesting thing about that was like, okay, he's capable of having a bad stretch. Let's hope that that bad stretch is in this series.
Right, exactly. And, you know, give Georgie credit. Like, that wasn't an easy thing to bounce back from. And now they've had a really long break. You know, this team, is going to benefit from that rest just from, like, a health perspective. But even Jared Bednar said today, like, hey, we're chomping at the bit to get back at this thing. And I think that's true of Georgiev and all these guys, because during the regular season, it was almost like this team didn't play as well as they did with a break as opposed to without one. Like, they sort of like being on the every other day playing a game schedule. But in the playoffs, I mean, I don't know if we throw those regular season trends out the window.
Sure.
Just because it's such a different game. And I imagine the Avs are, you know, they're going to have no excuses if things don't start well tonight.
Kyle Fredrickson joining us from the Denver Gazette. All right, so talk to us about the Stars. You know, what should we be looking out for as far as concerns and what might stand in the way of the Colorado Avalanche advancing to the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, you know, Oettinger is a great place to start. I think, like the Jets, goaltending is a real strength of this team. I also think that, like the Jets, they're built on depth, but even more so than the Jets. I mean, the Stars just have more talent. I think lines 1 through 4. Logan Stankoven, his last name is spelled like Stank Oven. It's a good one. Makes me chuckle for whatever reason. He's been a real breakout star for this team. He's on the first line with Rupe Hintz and Jason Robertson. But you know all the normal characters, Jamie Benn. You know, Matt Duchene got added at the trade deadline. Joe Pavelski, Tyler Seguin. And that's what's fun about this matchup. I mean, there's so much familiarity between these teams that I think even for Avalanche fans, just, you know, that's going to make this series a little more emotional. Maybe the swings are going to be even bigger, I think, than what we saw in that first series, because these guys are deep and they're good. And, Miro Heiskanen, I'd go without saying that he's one of the best defensemen in the world, you know, a spot or two behind Cale Makar, another guy who can really make offensive plays from the blue line.
Who do you think is going to be, the main star in this? Assuming the Avs find a way to get it done, who do you think's the star that's going to shine the brightest for the Avs? Not actually the Stars there, Kyle.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the narrative. I'm gonna go with the story that would be the most fun. And for me, that's Val Nichushkin exploding against his former team, right? I think people forget that he went through such a slow stretch for the Stars that they bought out the final year of his contract. Like, Nichushkin didn't score a goal, I think, over the course of almost 100 games. It's for him to come out and do that against his former team and be such a big part of the Avs' success after what happened a year ago. As a reporter, that'd just be fun to write about. And it's also feasible because Nichushkin, he might be one of the best net front guys in the entire league with the way that he blocks shooting lanes, cleans up those greasy goals. And to me, that's why this series is perfect for him, because the Avs, they're great at that tic-tac-toe stuff, the real pretty goals, but there's just not enough time and space in the playoffs to score that way very often. So Nichushkin's the guy who I think would put them over the top in a long series that, you know, will go back and forth, but ultimately I do think the Avs advance.
Well, and I love that, you know, you're saying Val might be the guy, because that would be. I mean, you as a writer, too, you know you're rooting for that, man.
Oh, yeah, that's Hollywood's going to come calling for the script, that sort of stuff.
Well, and he was, I mean, he was special in this series. He made his presence felt every single game against the Jets. He scored in all 5 games, didn't he, Kyle?
He did. And, first career hat trick coming in the playoffs after what he's been through. It was, that was one of my favorite games from that Winnipeg series. And it's more than that, right? It's a complete game. that Val plays, you know, really kind of giving them an element of physicality, one that they, you know, miss not having Gabe Landeskog out there. I feel like it's been so long since he's played that we kind of forget the style of player he was. But he brought a lot of the things that now Val is really excelling on. So it goes without saying that that's a huge part of what this team needs to move forward.
What do you have a prediction for us, how you see this series going down?
You know, I've flip-flopped, asked me 5 minutes before puck drop maybe. But right now I do think that it's Avalanche and maybe six games. Mostly because I watch these other teams play on TV and I've been watching the Avs in the playoffs, and they seem like they're playing at a different speed than everyone. And I think if they keep that up, they're just going to feel like a freight train where, you know, five or six goals a night feels possible because they're four lines deep right now. They're healthy. I think Cale Makar has maybe saved himself for the playoffs to put on his best play. He's looking a little more agile and aggressive out there. Maybe kind of nursing some injuries through the year to be ready for this moment. I just think it all adds up to an Avs series win. But, you know, whether it's, you know, tonight or in game two, I do expect the Stars to take one of these games in their home building just because they're built like a champion too. You know, if they beat the Avs in this series, I would expect them to, you know, be a team that could really contend for the cup.
Yeah, that's what my next question was, like, this matchup here. I mean, this kind of feels a little bit, I guess, similar to what we're dealing with the Nuggets Timberwolves. Maybe the winner out of that series is the team to beat, is the favorite.
Yeah, it's the toughest path. I mean, can you imagine having to go through Vegas and the Avs to get to the Western Conference Final? If you're the Stars, I mean, that is impressive if they're able to pull that off. And would show the strength of this team and Pete DeBoer. I mean, this group reminds me a lot of the Avs and just the fact that they have strong coaching. Everyone knows their role. Just a culture of, getting close in the playoffs the past couple years. Maybe they're angry enough to make a bigger run.
Kyle Fredrickson, always appreciate your insight, man. I'm sure you have a bunch of pregame stuff for us as you're getting set. You're there in Dallas, ready to rock and roll. What can we check out in the meantime from you?
Yeah, so today I'll have a little bit of a reaction on Nathan MacKinnon being a Hart Trophy finalist out of the room. No MacKinnon today. He didn't talk, but a lot of teammates chiming in on what that means for him. And also excited about an Andrew Cogliano story this week. You know, he's a guy in year 17. He fractured his neck in the playoffs last year. I had a very candid conversation with him just about what it means to be an NHL veteran, you know, what retirement, if ever comes onto his mind. Some pretty good stuff that I'm excited to, you know, share with our readers in the Denver Gazette coming up here in the next few days.
I love your work, my friend, and we'll be looking forward to post-game stuff as well from you a little bit later on. And, hey, we need it. We need some good vibes, Kyle. Just do what you can. Talk to the fellas, okay?
Yeah, I'll let them know that the fans are struggling. That they need a pick-me-up. I'm sure the Avs are aware.
Yeah, we need one, man. Kyle, appreciate you, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Kyle Fredrickson with the Denver Gazette. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out, take a quick break here. I'll wrap up hour number two. Still got buy or sell coming up. Defensive intensity in the NBA. Also just foul calling and complaining about lack of foul calling in the NBA. Does the NBA have a problem they really need to address? And unfortunately, the Nuggets are the one that's bringing this conversation back into light, and I don't like it. We'll be right back.
The legendary Coach Bruce Dick and the biggest names in preps on Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I want to shout out to the Eaton Country Club. Man, I love that place. I love McCarty's Grill. And me being a terrible golfer, it's the only golf course that I go to. And I'm like, you know what? It's fine. I love being out here. It's gorgeous. And it's not as judgy as some of these other country clubs, man. I'm telling you from experience. That's just not what I've... Tanner tries to rope me into a lot of these chamber golf courses and thing or golf... Tournaments, there we go, all the time. So I've seen a bunch of them, And I've also witnessed, you know, they're kind of the, I don't know, the sweater vest wearing crowd. I'm not really into it. But the Eaton Country Club has a little bit of everything. And it's just, it's great. So if you want to check this place out, I mean, everybody that I talk to calls this thing Northern Colorado's hidden gem, but I don't really think it's a hidden gem anymore. I think it's just a gem. Everybody knows about what they're up to. Sign up for tournaments that are open to the public. They're always putting something on. You can check that out at eatoncc.net and then see about becoming a member. Maybe you liked it so much you want to become a member at the Eaton Country Club. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. This is an interesting one, Angel. Austin Rivers, former Nugget, he says, I can take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA. So basically saying, NBA, there's more NBA players that can make the transition to play football in the NFL. NFL players can't do it. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're not gonna put Giannis at, you know, defensive tackle, but
like LeBron could play in the NFL.
Sure.
I think so, don't you? Mm-hmm. I mean, again, this is all, we don't really know. We'd have to see how they do in practice and all that stuff, but just for funsies, LeBron could play.
Yeah, I think you can be a great athlete in the NFL and not necessarily be a great football player.
Yeah, like I think, and that's why I think an NFL guy playing basketball, I don't know, maybe Austin Rivers is on to something. Chris Harris Jr., who we've had on the show before, former Bronco, just retired, he's basically going at him saying, hey, give me your 30. List your 30. And then we'll go from there. Could Joel Embiid play in the NFL?
No.
Could Anthony Edwards?
Sure.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Probably like a linebacker or something.
Could Luka? Quarterback?
Luka.
Kind of looks like a quarterback, man.
Sure.
Tyrese Maxey, Donovan Mitchell. I'm just going through the top stat. Joker couldn't play football. I know we joke about him.
Joker's the quarterback.
Yeah. That would be pretty hilarious to actually see that. Durant could not play. Could Devin Booker play?
Yeah, I could see that.
Anthony Davis would probably just die.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Now that I'm kind of going through this list, how about for the Nuggets? Is it Aaron Gordon?
Yes.
Aaron Gordon could play football. Nobody else. Porter would just die.
I think Christian Brown could get out there.
I mean, maybe. That's all I can say. For the Nuggets, that's it, right? Mm-hmm. No Jamal. You just throw stuff out on the field. 12:57 the time. When we come back, let's get to buy or sell. It's a difficult time for Nuggets fans, but it's also a very exciting time for the Avs. We'll wrap up the final hour of the show with buy or sell. I got to talk about the NBA facing an epidemic. We'll get into all that and more. It's a whole show powered by Chevron.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.